You know, we have such a lovely number of our Zoroastrian Baba lovers here today. And it makes me think of how once Baba said, because, you know, this has not, it's not a small thing, has not been a small thing for us right from the start, because Baba was born in a Zoroastrian community. And the Zoroastrian community have been very aggressive about it at the time. So my poor mother, meaning my father, I guess, but my poor mother, because she felt, she was a woman, she used to be a belle of the society, middle-class society of our time in Pune. She used to grace every function of weddings, parties, engagements, and this. But then, because of Baba, when he left home, and then now he's in Mehrabad, who does he think he is? So when she was still gone, not knowing, she was exiled in a way. It was a silent exile for her, when they would leave her out of everything. So if she would, when she would enter a grace, there would be complete silence. And then they would say, she? Yes. Her son? Her son. You mean his mother? Yes. Who's that? His mother. Who? You know, things that would go on like that. And we have seen that band of Zoroastrians, mostly Iranis, those that had migrated from Persia at the same time as my family had, ancestors, but you know, they were very, very strong about it. And they even, I have a letter from mother to Baba, her son, dated 1926-28, in which she addresses Baba so respectfully. You know, this is a revelation. Finding these old letters of a particular year when mother used to write to her son, Merwan, Baba, as we call him, was in Mehrabad, and she would address him as Tame, not respect. Tu. With such respect as a child would address his mother, but not a mother addressing the child. And then she would put before him any suggestions or problems or conversation or whatever, and then she would end up with saying, but of course, whatever you want to do. In one letter she says, that means she has accepted him long before we knew that she had accepted him. She said, like you said, I have given up all medication now. I only apply your udi, which means the ashes from the tuni. And I just can't believe it. But in one letter she said that our enemies, we used to call them the opposition group. And you see, you have to know our times, our ways of living, our mode of life. You don't change houses. You don't change town. I mean, we were in that same house, in that same alley, in that same area for years. So that, you know, we're right there. And these people who are harassing mother, they're a community that they somehow congregate together. So they were in our neighborhood, not in the alley, but on the Dastur Mer Road, and at the end of the alley. They, you know, they were there all the time. So she, in one letter she says to Baba, to her son, she says, you know, the other day, they, means this community, they plied the inspector who lives in our mohalla, means alley, with drink, although he is not a drunkard as such, but they plied him with a lot of drink and they let him loose in our house. They you know, pushed him into our house. And he went straight up to your old father, straight up to your poor father, and to beat him. But obviously, he didn't touch, because my father wouldn't. Knowing my father, he probably didn't even blink an eye, and probably just looked at him. But he stopped. But then he showered him with the vilest abuse. And she said in her letter, how long am I to endure this? How long are we to suffer this? I was very happy to know that, because when I've been talking about those times, I thought maybe over the years my mind has magnified, maybe I'm exaggerating or whatever. Anyway, ultimately, the children of these people, more so their daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, nephews, nieces, all became Baba lovers, such staunch Baba lovers. They are there among the volunteers in Guru Prasad and the banners. Anytime there's a Baba program, but my mother just missed them. It was not in her destiny to see that. But to see that my mother acknowledged, I thought it all began from 1937, because that's the time in Nasik when Baba's birthday was celebrated publicly. There were thousands before him. In front of them all, my mother washed Baba's feet, her son's feet. Others followed then, but she first laid it with milk and rose water and honey, that kind of traditional washing of the feet. But if you declare in public who your son is, if you're doing that.
So word got back from Nasik to the community in Pune. This was in Nasik.
Yes, no. That community was much later.
No, but I mean, word got back of
your mother's. You see, what they would say was, we have seen him go to school. We have seen him play cricket in the alley. We have seen him fly kites. We have seen him, and then they would say, it's true, he was different. But and his voice. They would immediately say, oh, his voice. His voice was so beautiful. And this, the one who was the head of the opposition group, we have heard of her saying, not directly, but I've heard that she had said that when Baba would sing the munajat, just like my father used to sing in the house, his singing voice would come through the little window of our kitchen, the little chancel that was there. So she said when she was cooking, making breakfast, it was early morning, she would stop. And the milk would sometimes boil over, the egg would be harder than she had planned, and things like that. And then when the voice, singing voice, stopped, she would suddenly realize, and she would grumble, and she would think of him a lot, but she was mad at him. So they said, how can he be that? You know, who does he think he is? Zoroaster or something? But then, you see, my father, my uncles, my father's brother, all of them had seen Baba go to school. All of them had seen him play cricket in the alley with, you know, impromptu game. All of them had seen what they had seen. And they all accepted Baba, the relatives, this time, in this advent. I feel very happy about that. But these, they were so... But then, my thinking that not long ago, that was every time when a Zoroastrian has come to Baba, not so much now as in the earlier years, it's been a great, you know, feeling of joy for him. And so one day Baba was seated in his room on the bed with his feet on that little cushion, and Baba said, and it was not only just his bedroom, it's his room where, and some talk came up about Parsis, Zoroastrians, Iranians. And Baba said, don't worry, they'll all come. They'll all come. And even he made room like from every corner. They will all come. And now we see. In fact, when Baba dropped his body, the 7 days when Baba was resting in the crib, and they would come, we would only go once or twice a day to be with Baba when everybody would stop. Because now he was for the world. We could not just have him to ourselves. So we went twice and we allowed all the others. But once when we were going, I saw someone bowing down at the threshold. And when he got up, I couldn't believe it. He was one of the Iranis himself, that old one, who was so aggressive towards Baba, there to see his head on the threshold of Baba's samadhi or something.
Mani, what's the difference between Parsis, Zoroastrians, and
Iranians? There's only a difference of time. The ones we call Parsis are Iranians, are from Persia. But they migrated to India 1400 years ago or 1200 years ago, you see. Mm. Now, the ones that is now, whose surnames are all Irani, they're not necessarily related, but they are recently, like a century ago. Like my father came, my uncle came, my aunt came from Iran, from Persia. My mother was born here. She was conceived there, and 4 days after landing in India, in Bombay, she was born. She didn't like Bombay. She loved Pune. Mm. She would always say, Pune, the best no kunu. The Pune is a corner of paradise. I don't know about it anymore, but it was so at the time. So when I would really, you know, wanted to get a rise out of her, I'd remind her of the fact that she was born in Bombay. Oh, she would, you know, turn around and say, you.
But your surname was also Irani.
Yes.
So there's no distinction from a religious point of view.
No. Only our calendars, very delightfully, our calendars vary by a month. So Zoroastra, according to the Zoroastrians, is born twice, a month later. Yeah?
A distinction between...
Yeah.
Which calendar?
It's the same, our Gujarati calendar, but a month's difference in time setting. So the Irani New Year happened just now, the Parsi New Year will happen a month later, but it's good for us, we enjoy both. Sweets and big celebrate. How about loves, you know? Anything to celebrate? That's
Buses
fun.
Buses are always there. Eat, drink, and be merry. Huh? Eat, drink, and be merry. Well, that's the passes.
But all might go to the same temple.
Yes, fire temple.
Oh yes,
because we believe in fire.
It's the same, absolutely the same. But there was a difference in the culture of the first generation of those who came from Persia, like recently I'm talking about the ones who were Iranis, you know, that was different from the ones who were settled here long ago.
Right.
But it only took a couple of generations to catch up and match up and all that. But there was that difference.
So social distinctions just by
there was, there was, undoubtedly.
Did the resistance come from the Parsis more than the Iranis? Was there that kind of distinction amongst the resistance to Baba?
No,
community or the other?
This happened to be their proximity to us. But you see, I'll tell you something. Even in Bombay, even our early followers of Meher Baba had it difficult. Because when they would ask for something, there was an opening. But when they heard the Meher Baba people, there was suddenly no opening. Sorry, but there's no... You know, that had... But the worst was my parents, my family. Baba's family. And I still remember one very interesting incident happened in Dadar, in the King's Circle, Chennai. Then he passed my mother, for the first time and the last time, for some reason, I don't know, because I was with Baba. But when we went to Mysore in 1936, I had this terrible ear operation of mastoid. And in those days, there was no antibiotics, there was no... Whatever it is, there's a lovely story connected with that, too. But when we came from there, I had to be in Bombay for a few days with mother. So at that time, mother was staying for, I think, about some months or a year in Bombay. For some reason, she had to stay. So there was a house in Dadar, Parsi colony, so that all the apartments are in taken by the Zoroastrians. You know, it's known as the Parsi colony. And, you know, naturally one migrates together where they are. It's a social thing. So in those days, it was the landlord was very keen to have tenants. Now the landlord is very eager to push them out.
To be let, they used to be.
So Baba used to visit. Baba twice visited me, even in the 12 days, or certainly not more than 2 weeks. I was there for my daily dressing from the hospital, so going by tram with Jal and coming back. So Baba came twice, but he would sometimes anyway go to see Mother. He would visit from Mehrabad, go to Bombay, visit Mother. And there would be Ramju with him, Barsoop with him, Gustaji with him. Gustaji was a Parsi, but he didn't look like it, the way he was dressed with Baba, you see, whatever it is. It looked like some vagabonds, these people. But they were misunderstood because they were alien. They thought they were non-Zoroastrians. The rest of the Parsi colony, you know, anything happens in an alley, all the windows open, you know, and see, each one knows what's happening over there. They know, of course, that she's his mother. Even the adjoining neighbors were harassing her at night, banging on the wall and all kinds of. It always hurt Mother. If it didn't hurt her, it wouldn't matter. It didn't hurt Father. He didn't care. But it hurt Mother. So all the others then went to the landlord and said, if this lady isn't out of the
colony,
we will all go. That's a big threat. And they all signed except three people. These three said, look, this lady has done nothing to harm us. When I come down from the stairs, if we meet, she just says, Sahibji. I say, Sahibji. Why should I wish her out? I'm not going to give three. But the rest gave. And so the poor landlord came to Mother. Mother was a strong lady, strong in the sense, strong-minded. And she said, he wanted her to leave. She said, give me one good reason why I should leave, and I will. And he said, Shirin Bhai, there's not one reason why you should leave. You're a model tenant. You pay your rent so promptly. Mother would always do things 2 days ahead, no matter whether it was a train to catch or 2 hours ahead. But there was no reason. So Mother said, I'm not going. I have done nothing. You make me just fly from here like a criminal. What have I done? So she would not go. But she felt very, very much. You know, it only happened, I heard later, because then I had to go, and a few months later, or 2 months, or whatever, all those who signed had to leave. Someone lost their job, someone got news of a death, someone in the family, someone with this, someone, whatever it is, but those three. But that was a feather in our cap, especially for the brothers to tell Mother, didn't we tell you so? Didn't we?
Are there any Zoroastrians still in Iran?
Iran is Zoroastrians,
Parsi
is Zoroastrians.
Seven of us have come. And they're all from Parsi colony, these all.
You've come from Iran.
From the other Parsi colony.
Not from Iran,
not from Bombay.
But in Iran, still.
Yes.
Very few.
In Iran, yes. In Iran, there are Irani Zoroastrians. And Irani Muslims. It was the persecution from the Muslims that made the Irani Zoroastrians, most of the families, leave Iran and come and settle here. And there used to be a lot of lovely stories. And I used to love to listen to stories from older people when I was little, you know, old people. I've always been. So we were helped because, you see, we belonged to it. So the Parsi community took us, the ones, they were, where Parsi community has been an affluent community, has been, from, you know, self-made people. They've earned, and they've been the biggest philanthropists. Everything first is the yes. So they would say, Parsi, thy name is charity. That's a famous slogan.
Yeah. And when we die, also we do the charity.
Yeah.
We give our body.
Yes, yes. But you know, the first hospital for children, Parsi. First, the same for all the firsts benefiting
Tatas.
The Tatars.
Parsi.
The all ordained by the Parsi.
Jinja Hospital.
Yeah. So when I say Iranis, I mean the recent ones come. When we came, naturally, we needed jobs. They would offer us jobs in their homes, you know, treating us like a family. but giving us the job. There would be ones who would cook, ones who would... My father became a gardener at one of the Parsi homes. I think it was a petite bungalow in Pune. Yeah. And my father had green fingers. My father was one who constantly, his tongue, his heart I could not see, but his tongue I could see, constantly repeating God's name. Yes, Dad. And it doesn't need... It doesn't need the moving of the lips, the word he has done. Need the moving of the lips. So when I was little, because he could have been my grandfather. I was the littlest of the family, youngest. So when I would sit next to him and look up at him, I could see, you know, through me, the tongue going, like the tongue of a bird, constantly, yes, Dan, yes, Dan. So, and anything my father, he loved gardening. All Iranis do. Those in Iran, they love fruit in that little garden, in that space around the well in Baba house. He planted a mulberry tree, a pomegranate tree, a henna tree, two papaya trees, a chiku tree. I've forgotten, there were two more. So, you know, and he just put something, and he just dug a little, and and then roses and things he would put around the well. So when he was working there, that garden flourished. Anyway, Pune has good soil.
Yeah.
But still, it was beyond that. So the Parsi, the benevolent Parsi who had father and his employees in the garden, was so pleased. And somehow, people would always feel something from my father. So when my father had to leave, because now the next step was tea shop, and then came the toddy shop, and then there were more tea shops, more toddy shops. So when he left, the Parsi gentleman pleaded with my father. Said, Sheryaji, please come once in a while. Just put your gaze on my garden, and the garden will flourish. Don't do anything. And then take whatever potted plant you like, you are free. So sometimes I would watch my father coming down the Sturme Road, and a servant behind with a pot and a rose that went bob, 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 you know, as the man walked. And then he would come and place it around the well. And then he would put it in the sun, and he would all the time say, yes, Dan, yes, Dan. And, you know, doing his little gardening over there. So I used to be very interested as a child to see, what did Bobo bring today? I used to call him Bobo. And mother was Memo. It's an Irani way. Mm-hmm. What did Bobo bring today? So one day he brought a kundi, a pot, an earthen pot.
Excuse me.
That seemed to have nothing in it. Just leaves. So I was disappointed. I said, Bobo, no flower today? He said, yes, yes. Child dikra, barabacho, che, che. No, there's no flowers. And then he said something which I've remembered a number of times. He said, beautiful things are not always seen. You have to find. So, but I said this. So he said, Ben, look, look. So I bent down, practically put my nose in it, and then I got the fragrance of violets. And I realized that the flowers were just underneath the leaves. You know, violets used to be very shy in those days, even violets. Now this is... So then when I used to go to the convent of Jesus and Mary in my education, so when we would see St. Joseph's picture, I mean, father of Jesus, when he carried a staff, then we have seen pictures of St. Joseph with the lilies, with a sprig of flowers shooting out of this dead staff, the staff that he carried. And so everybody said it was a miracle. But to me it wasn't at all surprising. It could easily happen to my father. He just touched something in it. And Baba said... The last time he said it was in 1968 in Pune. And Baba said, no, he said, my father, no match for him in the whole world.
Oh.
Which is why I was born to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he set out looking for God.
Yeah.
Right? He left home, he left country, he just went out. And he wandered all over India, and I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew it. But when we were traveling with Baba in the blue bus, and a time when we were climbing to the, in the mountains at the foot of the Himalayas, car, you know, going up in the Himalayas, blue bus was laboring. The machine was, you know, going so loud, as if the poor bus couldn't climb, but it was laboring to go up somehow, and making such a lot of noise we couldn't even talk with each other. And suddenly Baba turns around and says, "It's very difficult to go up, isn't it, in these mountains, in the Himalayas?" I said, "Yes, Baba. But my father, he walked all over here." That was one. And then another time, when we were in train, mind you, and past the desert in Gujarat, Kutch, the run of Kutch, and we were going by train, and it was so hot, and the wind was bringing down that soft sand, and we were closing the windows and all that. And Baba said, "It's terrible, isn't it?" I said, "Yes." And Baba said, "Yet we're sitting in a train. But my father, he walked through for my sake." I forgot to say that. Looking for me. Mm-hmm. Even when he said he walked in these mountains barefoot, he walked all over these mountains looking for me. And then when it was the desert, he said, he walked through this desert looking for me. Naturally, he found me.
Your father had a gift for languages?
Who?
Your father had a gift for languages?
Not really.
But
he knew. No, I will tell you why. Because his accent of Hindustani was still an Irani person speaking. Dikra. Na maine na satav. Hai satavet. Khodai tera bala tere. When my father said that to me, I knew that I displeased him. You know, that's the strongest thing my father would say. He would say, "Why do you pester mother? May God do you good. May God be good to you. You know, Khodai tera bala kare. It's a blessing. It's a blessing." And then I knew, I mustn't go any further. Father is not pleased. But so I was very amazed that father, who had not been to school, knew Persian. My mother did not know Persian as such. She talked Dari, like I did. And I would talk with mother in Dari. But my father taught my mother Persian. So they would sit in the evening with the Shahnama on that sandalwood carved, that book thing. And he would read out. He taught her Hafiz. And she would always have a Hafiz book with her when she came to Nasik. She would read out for all. You know, and so my father, that is how I was named Manija, because they were reading the Shahnama, and they were reading the story of Manija and Bajan, this Persian princess and this Bajan, and so then when she had to be rushed to the hospital. But I was also, it was a new moon day, so my Parsi neighbor said, "Are sirima chandan naam rakhoni." Name a chandan, it's a very old fashioned name, I won't put chandan. And so my father said, "Well, we have been reading about Manija. Why don't we name a Manija?" So that's how I was named Manija. So then it suddenly came to me that used to be an Israeli lady, a Hebrew speaking lady, you know, from Israel. And she was a friend, because we were universal. Usually we are in India, and our alley. I was an alley child. Every imaginable religion and all. We were all the children would play together, and neighbors would. So this old lady, very lovely looking, even in her old age, and bangles from here to here. I would admire her bangles. And she would sit and she would talk with my father. And my father would... And this I was listening. And then there was another man. Now this is Persian, Hebrew. Then there was an Arabic person who was translating a treatise, or a Muslim person who was writing a treatise and from Arabic into some language. So Whenever he was stuck, he would come to my father. And my father would point at him. So I said, what is this? Father never went to school. I go to school and study. I never did homework, though. I put that right. My mother would say, Mary, all the children are doing the homework. I would come and throw my books and run out to play. And I said, all the children are mad. You pay for them. Their parents pay for them to be in, learn in school. School is what it is for, not home. But then I thought, how come Father knows so many languages? He never went to school. God. So one day I was sitting next to him. I said, Bobo, how come you know Arabic, Persian, Hebrew, and you never went to school? Just yes, yes, child. It came to me in a moment. Yes, dance.